Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies, Nature Folk, and more. In tonight's encore from October 2020, Selena guided a connection to connect and commune with beloved dead at Samhaintide.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and this is Samhaintide, and we are connecting with the spirits of the dead. I'd like to begin with a chant and then an honoring of the spirits of the dead in the tradition that I work with. Samhaintide is here. Spirit world is near. Samhaintide is near. Spirit world is here. We honor the spirits of the dead. We honor ancestors. We honor the ancient ones. We honor the divine as one and as many, as great mother, great father, great spirit. Come be with us tonight as we connect with Samhain and honor the spirits of the dead. We call to the newly dead, those loved ones who have died in the past year, loved ones who are family, loved ones who are friends, loved ones who are neighbors, loved ones who are co-workers, loved ones that are creatures, loved ones of many kinds. And we honor the newly dead of spiritual community. And with the Circle Sanctuary community, that includes Andrew Wilhon, John Harrison, Elizabeth Elian Moran, Carol Adair, John David, a.k.a. Dave Erickson, and all of the others that we seek to honor. and we honor the spirits of the dead that are iconic dead. Some call them the mighty dead. And tonight I honor two of the iconic dead who've crossed over in the past year, that have been role models for me, that have helped move the United States of America and indeed the world as a whole further along on the path of equality, liberty, and justice. I honor John Lewis. I honor Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I honor all of the other iconic activists dead around the world in different societies and communities that also have contributed to a healthier, more equal, more just, more free planet Earth. And as we are connecting with newly dead and honoring them in this Samhain ritual, I honor, remember, send support to families and others continuing to be impacted by the pandemic dead in the United States and around the world. We remember you. We send healing to you. We send healing to your loved ones. Pandemic dead. Pandemic dead. Pandemic dead. And at this Samhain time, I invite you to join me in connecting with and honoring all the beloved dead. Beloved dead of family, family of blood, family of adoption. Beloved dead of place. Those who have gone before from the area where we dwell. And the beloved dead of spiritual tradition. Pagans, druids, Wiccans, witches, heathens, other nature spirituality folk. We call to you, we honor you, we remember you at this Samhain time. We call to you, we honor you, we remember you at this Samhain time. We call to you, we honor you, we remember you at this Samhain time. And we call to the ancestors. Those who have gone before us, the ancestors of our family, ancestors of tribe, ancestors of place, ancestors of culture, ancestors of spiritual tradition, ancestors, we call to you. Ancestors, we honor you. Ancestors, come to us. Ancestors, be with us. Ancestors, guide us. Ancestors, commune with us. Ancestors, be in us and are so in time. So be it. Spirits of the dead are connected with this time of year, the middle of autumn in places that have the four seasons. Why the spirit of the dead being connected with this time of year? All we need to do is look at nature around us. Literally, symbolically, iconically, there is death all around us as vegetation dies back. This is especially true here in northern climes of North America in late October and early November. But even in places that are warmer, there is a change in the rhythms of nature. There are several holidays connected with this time of year. And by this time of year, I talk about mid-fall in the four season zones of temperate realms in the Northern Hemisphere, late October, early November. And I also want to acknowledge that in the Southern Hemisphere, there is Beltane upon us. And just as Beltane, with its flowers, is a time of blooming, within the blooming, there is the release of the old, the seeds that have come from the plants that have died back, have sprouted and brought new life. So within Beltane, there is Samhain. And within Samhain, there is Beltane. For in death, those of us who are attuned to nature as part of our worldview, our spirituality, our religion, our philosophy, understand that continuity of life, death, rebirth. So holidays at this time of year. Samhain, that's the Celtic New Year. All Saints, All Souls Days, and these are holidays that are celebrated not only by Roman Catholics, Episcopals, Anglicans, some Lutherans, and people in some other Christian traditions. These are holidays that have some connections with Samhain itself. We also have Day or Days of the Dead. And this tradition takes the indigenous practices of honoring the dead at this time of year, which actually lasted more than a night, went on for several days and nights, and in some traditions, the lore says that before European contact, there was a whole month where people honored the dead at this time of year in Old Mexico and some other parts of not only North America, Central America, but also South America. There are these traditions with days of the dead that have their roots in the indigenous past, but got blended with Roman Catholicism as European contact happened in the 15th century. And each of these holidays, Samhain, All Saints, All Souls Day, All Saints Day is also known as All Hallows, and Days of the Dead, have a religious dimension intertwined. The holiday that most people know and celebrate is Halloween, and Halloween takes some of the Celtic traditions of honoring the dead at this time of year, blends them during that medieval time where pagan customs and Christian customs in Europe were all intertwined. So a lot of that lore, the whole thing of guising and masking, goes back at least that far. And there's also the All Saints, so All Souls Day, so All Hallows Eve, the night before All Hallows, November 1st, is where we get the name Halloween. And Days of the Dead takes cultural practices and religious practices and weaves them together. So technically, Halloween has spiritual roots, has multicultural roots, and interreligious roots. But how it manifests, not only in the USA, but in many parts of the world, is actually as a secular folk holiday. And for that reason, it has become part of pop culture. And people of different religions and beliefs celebrate. And as it's evolved over time, there was a period of time in the 1930s in America where there was a concerted attempt in society to shift from the prankstering that sometimes happened in some locations on the 30th, the night before Halloween, and to really try to get something safer and better for children. So many old customs got woven around, and the dress up for kids and going door to door and trick or treating, all of this has its roots in the ancient honoring of the spirits of the dead amongst the Celts and amongst those celebrating the other spiritual, religious, cultural holidays that I've talked about. So at this time of year, when you think about Halloween, there's a lot of iconic images. Chances are you're going to get at least one ghost in decorations. That's the spirits of the dead. You may have a witch, very likely. And that, too, harkens back to the ancient nature folk religions of old Europe. Witch as healer, witch as diviner, witch is one who goes through the worlds of the living and the dead. And you will have jack-o'-lanterns, or sometimes they are called spirit lights. And jack-o'-lanterns can take a variety of forms. Typically, there's some smiling face is carved or crafted, because beyond pumpkins and turnips, which are some produce forms of carvings that represent the spirits, there are people making all sorts of jack-o'-lantern images. And these are spirit lights, and there's a lot of lore about this. Now, some say that the jack-o'-lantern is put at homes to ward off spirits that have issues that you don't want have visiting you. But I also know the lore where the jack-o'-lantern is welcoming spirits of your beloved dead and ancestors. It is a way shower. Whatever lore you choose, I do think it's a wonderful part of this holiday by whatever name of honoring the dead and keeping alive an ever-evolving tradition. Now, the dead can be pictured in a number of different ways. The ghosts that are so common in Samhain, Halloween, Days of the Dead, the sugar skulls, and other Halloween decorations are representing that spirit world. Now, they may be friendly, or they may be mischievous, besides having images of the dead. You'll also see images that are depicting death. Usually death is pictured as a hooded figure carrying a scythe, and that represents not only physical death, but this is the last of the harvest. So there's death to the crops, and there's honoring the dead at this time of year. What I'd like to share with you now are what I call the process of death and how that impacts spirits of the dead. I run Circle Cemetery, that's Circle Sanctuary's Green Cemetery. It's 20 acres out of the 200 acres of Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. We are headquartered in southwestern Wisconsin, USA. And this Samhain 2020, we are celebrating the 25th anniversary of our Green Cemetery. Our Green Cemetery gets the name Green Cemetery as a type of cemetery because it takes a very ancient burial practice of returning remains of the dead to nature. This can take the form of cremated remains, ashes, being scattered or buried at the cemetery, or it can take the form of full body burial, but the body is not embalmed, and the container is something that biodegrades. So I've been running Circle Cemetery for 25 years, and the origins of Circle Cemetery actually go back to the earliest times of Circle Sanctuary, the Nature Spirituality Church that I helped birth back in 1974. We knew that eventually we needed to have our own land, and as part of considering that, we made a list of things that we needed to have when we found the piece of land to be our headquarters, and one of those must-have items, area for cemetery. We think it's important not only to have a beautiful nature preserve for the living as part of their spiritual practices individually and in group, but to have a place that's the home for community dead. And hence Circle Cemetery, the idea was born in the 1970s. And once we got the land in 1983, we worked on paying it off so that we, once we had title to the land, 1995, we could start putting human remains on the land as a cemetery. In 2010, we expanded it from a ridgetop to a 20-acre piece, and 20 acres is the minimum size needed in the state of Wisconsin to do full-body burials. And we went through a zoning process and got fully established as a cemetery that has a burying ground, and it has a ridgetop, the original part. It has a restored prairie where we scatter cremated remains, and we have our stone circle, microlithic, not megalithic, that serves as a ceremonial area. So having founded a cemetery and facilitating the cemetery as its director, I also have had experience not only working with families who want their loved ones to have their remains be at our cemetery, but I'm senior minister of Circle Sanctuary, and in that capacity, I conduct death passage rites, crossing overs, immediate rituals after a person has died, the anointing of the body. I have done crossing over rites in homes and hospitals and hospices in a variety of places. And I've also done funerals, memorials, anniversary remembrances, celebrations of life, and of course, burials. So I've been working with the spirits of the dead as the director of Circle Cemetery since 1995. But in the earliest days of Circle Sanctuary, I also was involved with connecting with the spirits of the dead at Samhain time, because that's part of our spiritual practices, but also through my work as a priestess of what some call the old religion of nature spirituality, the craft paganism. I've had a variety of experiences over the years as I've worked with spirits of the dead. To me, talking about spirits of the dead is a sacred thing. It's not a scary thing. It's not a horrific thing. It is a deeply spiritual practice. And whether I'm doing the work on my own or I'm facilitating work for one or more others, I see that it is a sacred process for connecting with the spirits of the dead, and one that can have some joy and delight as part of it, as well as the sorrow, but something that really deserves respect and understanding, not only of the dead, but the processes of bereavement. For when you work with the spirits of the dead, you're not only working with the spirits, but chances are they have loved ones. And those loved ones may be in a variety of different states of being regarding the death. So it's important to take all of that into consideration when you do spirits of the dead work. It's also important when you do spirits of the dead work to work in a spiritually cleansed place. Frankincense is a powerful herb. It's a gum resin from trees that grow in the Middle East, but it's now used worldwide. It was used in ancient pagan rites. It's been used in Christianity and Judaism and some other world religions over the years. It lifts the vibrations of a place. And so as I began this workshop podcast, I lit some frankincense as a way of clearing a space here for honoring and working with the dead. It's also important to have a framework for your practices. If you are aligned with a particular spiritual tradition, go deep and look at what the good practices are for Samhain and work with the spirits of the dead. And part of why I give this introductory remarks about this is because when someone dies, and I'm going to focus on human death here, but clearly I have done mourning and support work around the death of companion animals, whether you call them pets or household members. I've done that, and there's different types of deaths, but I'm going to focus on the human death, which is most associated with this holiday. As a person is nearing the end of life, often it is a period of time. It might be a matter of minutes or hours or days or months or even years. as a person is finishing their life. It might be a disease or just the body is done with its time in the incarnation. It is important to be aware that death is actually a process. So as a person is transitioning from this life into the other world, one way of working with the spirits of the dead is being a presence as that happens. Finding out what the person might want you to contribute to the transition, in addition to being a loving, supportive presence by bedside, or given the fact that in 2020 we have a pandemic, that the crossing over work that I have done since the pandemic began has all been what some people would call remote. I have done crossing overs by Zoom, by FaceTime, by telephone, and it's different than physically being present, but it can work, and it's been good when it's been possible to have that direct contact with the person as they're dying. Given the fact that the pandemic has been really difficult in the USA in particular, hospitals have had to implement all sorts of protocols, and in some cases, those with COVID have had to cross over without family members being present. In some cases, chaplains, if they are permitted in the hospital and they kind of vary from institution, might be the one to hold the phone or hold a other kind of mobile device and facilitate that, or they might be in lieu of a family member by the one crossing over, and in some cases it's a healthcare worker, often a nurse. And the idea as that crossing over happens is to be a loving presence, to provide comfort and support during that. When that happens, that transition can go in a good way. It is sad, and there's many dimensions of emotions connected with it, but it is a way of having what's known as a good death, to be able to peacefully cross over. Not everyone who's dying has an easy time of it. And sometimes a person is what some of us who do crossing over work for the dead, and it's called getting stuck. So in that case, often it is doing some inner work, some processing work, and spiritual prayers to aid the person as they are crossing over. Now, some people, when they die suddenly. Might be a car accident, a heart attack, or some other thing. Depending on how the death happens, you can have a variety of scenarios, not only for the one that has suddenly died, but for those loved ones and how they find out, if they're present. There's many different dynamics around that. And then there are violent deaths, murder, suicide, things where there is intense trauma connected with people dying in a wildfire, in a tsunami, in a hurricane, in a tornado, in an earthquake, human disaster, a natural disaster. Those traumatic deaths, when you're working with spirits of the dead who have crossed over traumatically, that's a more advanced way of making contact and supporting those transitions. it's especially important to have a good grounding, not only in psychology, but interreligious, multi-religious understanding of spiritual worldview and concepts, so that you can not only help the dead as they are navigating the otherworldly state, but you can be a support for the living, the bereaved, because when trauma is connected, that can be very difficult. When infectious disease is spreading across an area, and in this case across the U.S. and around the world, and people are dying rapidly, and over time their body just gives out. The COVID-19 pandemic has been really a hard thing on many levels. And there's different ways of responding to this. Certainly, it's important to engage in best practices and keep the spread from happening. And if you know those with COVID or have loved ones with COVID, to be a supportive presence for the living. But when death has happened due to COVID, that adds a whole nother level. I'm going to take a few moments now and just do a working and call on the spirit of one of my ancestors as an example of ancestor work connected with spirits of the dead. I call on the spirit of Dr. James Tong. Come bring healing to those who have lost loved ones. Come bring healing to the COVID dead. Come bring healing to planet Earth, to humankind, to the web of life. Help us join together, work together, be kind, compassionate, save. Dr. James Tong, I call upon you. I call upon you as ancestor. I call upon you as one of the first doctors in colonial America. I call upon you as one who connected with the father of modern psychology, psychiatry, Benjamin Rush. I call upon you, your mentor, Benjamin Rush. Help us during this pandemic time. Help there be cures, vaccines, and other ways of treating, of mitigating, and ultimately eliminating this deadly virus. Watch over us and guide us. You who have been healers in the past, come to us this Samhain and be with us now. Help us, guide us, aid us. Help dispel COVID-19. Help with mental health of all of us that are being impacted by this. Bring us resilience, bring us hope, bring us help. So be it. So why am I calling on my ancestor? He grew up during the time when America transitioned from colonial era into a new nation. And indeed, Benjamin Rush, who signed the Declaration of Independence, was a pioneer in many ways. And one of the things that my particular ancestor did was research and work on cures for infectious disease. So he came to me as I was preparing for this podcast. That image that I showed is a portrait that Dr. Benjamin Rush had painted for him and actually gave our family a picture of Dr. James Tung and a picture of himself. And the picture of Dr. James Tung continues to be in my family system. So we're talking about spirits of the dead and how they cross over can impact what state that they are in as you seek to commune with them. And there are things that can be done to honor the dead, to remember the dead, and for the traumatized dead, it is important that if you don't have grounding yourself in how to work with the traumatized dead that have parts of themselves still not crossed over into a space, it's good to check in with those who have some experiences cleansing a place and helping souls that are stuck between the worlds to cross over. So at Samhain time, Halloween, Days of the Dead, and All Hallows, the idea of the spirits of the dead being out and about is something that's part of lore, it's part of tradition. And for those who have issues with their crossing over, they might have a haunting side, a troublesome side. There's something known as poltergeist. It actually means noisy ghost. And the stuff about haunted houses has some connections with this, that if a person dies in a place, they may leave a trace of their presence there, or if they have not fully crossed over, they may be earthbound, as it's known. And it's important if there's something problematic happening at a dwelling that you get some help and support to sort it out, and sometimes you need a specialist to work with it. Yes, I know in pop culture there's Ghostbusters and things, and part of the fun of Halloween time is ghost stories and being able to actually consider death, and not only in a serious way, but to help us develop some understanding and some comfort with this part of the cycle of life. For there's birth, there's growth, there's life, there's death, and in many traditions, there's rebirth. I'd like to share with you some practices that I have as part of my Samhain, honoring of the dead. And one of those practices is known as the spirit altar. And the spirit altar is set up for the dead, and there's the spirit plate, part of the food that's being served at the Samhain feast. I celebrate Samhain in my household and in my community over a period of days and nights, so bits of food have already gone on this year's Samhain plate. And as Samhain unfolds in the next few days, I will be adding other things to the spirit plate. This food is placed on the plate as offerings for the dead, as a way of inviting the dead to come, be present, and showing hospitality. And in addition to the spirit plate, there is the spirit cup, a bit of the beverages that have been taken in at Samhain time, at the Samhain meal, if there's a central Samhain feast or if it's over a period of time. So a bit of water or juice or mead or other types of drink are placed in the spirit cup on the spirit altar. In the circle craft tradition, which I helped birth and which I practice, in addition to the spirit plate and the spirit cup, there's at least one spirit light. It might be battery operated, as in this case, it might be a living candle. If I am going to be at the spirit altar, I will have living flame, but if I'm going to be leaving it up over a period of time, then I will use a safe alternative, which is a battery-operated tea light such as this. I also include a portal, and typically it is a quartz crystal, and it represents a gateway between this world and the spirit world. And at Samhain time, I have it up in my house in a particular location where we're honoring the dead. When I do community ritual in person, I will have it during the main ritual itself, unveil it, work with it, and as ritual ends, close it back up again as part of a group process with this. It not only represents that nexus point between this world and the other world, but it is, crystal itself has been linked with connecting with other dimensions. In addition to having the place setting for the dead, an altar set up with spirit plate, spirit cup, spirit portal, spirit light, I also have the practice of going to Circle Cemetery, and for some people it's going outside their homes or they go to a park and taking the spirit plate and the spirit cup and presenting it to the dead. I'll set it down, do prayers, ritual, and then I'll take the food off the plate and pour the drink out of the cup. Spirits of beloved dead, come get fed. Spirits of beloved dead, come get fed. Spirits of beloved dead, come get fed. So be it. So in addition to this, there is a way of calling to the spirits to join in a Samhain celebration. I often will have a hearth fire as part of my Samhains, and when our community has gathered in person in the past, we've gathered around a huge bonfire. Offerings of sacred wood and herbs are cast into the fire in honoring the dead, and then gazing into the fire, there is fire scrying, and at times images, guidance from the dead come from that sacred action. This year, 2020, the Circle Sanctuary community is gathering in cyberspace. And we have a variety of different activities that have been planned. And this podcast is one of them. And on Sunday, November 1st, my other podcast, which is called Nature Mystic, will have a way of connecting with this time of year, looking for divinations of the future, a ritual. And we will be honoring the dead as part of a free, publicly live stream, Samhain full moon night ritual, a special ritual. We are ordaining three ministers this year for Circle Sanctuary. So watch the Circle Sanctuary Facebook page and my Facebook page and other social media to get updates about that, free and open to the public. So there's different ways of honoring the dead. And another practice is to go to the cemetery where you have one or more beloved dead memorialized there, memorialized with a gravestone. They might have a full body burial there, their ashes there, or it might be a memorial stone, a memorial bench in some way. And if you don't know the locations of where beloved dead from generations past had been buried, well, there are some ways of finding out through genealogical research. And one of the best ways of finding out is to talk to your living relatives and find out what they know. Sometimes you do research into church records, public records, cemetery records. I've done all of that as part of my way of working with beloved dead and ancestors year-round through understanding my connections through genealogical understandings and research. And I've been doing that over the course of many years, which is how I come to have taken a photograph of a portrait of one of my ancestors, and that's been part of my beloved dead altar every year. Which brings up the other practice, is if you have heirlooms, you have photographs, paintings, other depictions of beloved dead and ancestors you seek to connect with at Samhain time, create an altar for them. Now, for some people, they have their spirit plate and spirit cup and spirit portal and spirit light all on the same altar, and that's fine. I actually have a variety of different altars I set up in my household and at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. When we have gathered in person in the past, we have altars around our entire temple room, and members of our community bring photographs and tokens of remembrance and candles, and we have a bunch of small altars on a big community altar. And one of the altars that we have is the newly dead altar. So we have an altar to community members who have died in the past year, and we have an altar for iconic dead, and we have a variety of different altars depending on the year, but we set up tokens of remembrance for the beloved dead and ancestors. Now, if you don't have a photograph, if you don't have an heirloom, but you know the name, you can write that name on a file card or piece of paper and use that as a link. Or if you do not have the name and you're seeking to connect with an ancestor from a particular culture or ethnicity or location in the world, you could get an image of that, or to make a word or a phrase and put that on your altar as a link to help focus your intention and your attention as you do spirit honoring work. In addition to doing cemetery work, doing the research, finding out where you have beloved dead and ancestors buried, you can go to the cemetery and clear the stone, wipe the stone down. In Days of the Dead customs in Mexico and other parts of the Americas and other parts of the world even, the cleaning of the gravestone, the tending of the grave, and then having a picnic with the family on the grave is a tradition. It varies from village to village. I had the opportunity in 2019 of not only being at our Samhain celebrations at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, but the University of Wisconsin in Madison is an amazing institution. It's where I got my master's degree in counseling, so it's one of my alma maters, and there was a Days of the Dead celebration, and there were a variety of amazing altars that were created, and there was an opportunity to learn about those customs, and I got to see a documentary film from a filmmaker who was there, who had gone from village to village in Mexico and had been able to actually document not only the rich diversity of Days of the Dead, but to talk about some of the individual differences from community to community. So being able to go to the cemetery physically, that may or may not be permitted depending on where you are in the world right now. In Wisconsin, the COVID's gotten so bad at this solid time that governors issued stay at home, and clearly that's a good thing to do to help mitigate and help get control of the virus. So if you aren't able to go out to a cemetery physically, you can go out via the World Wide Web. Many of the cemeteries will actually have photographs of the cemetery place, and you can visit it virtually. And given the fact it's the 25th anniversary of Circle Cemetery this year, I have done a virtual tour of Circle Cemetery, of our burying ground, talking a bit about that, the original ridgetop part of our cemetery where most of the graves are, our stone circle, and our restored prairie. So you can find that at the Circle Sanctuary or at the Selena Fox YouTube channel, and you can go to the Circle Sanctuary YouTube channel and actually see a drone video showing Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, including of our cemetery, and one of our ministers and our IT wizard and one of our facilities groundskeepers, Bob Paxton, got the drone camera just a few weeks ago, and it's really quite amazing. So you can visit a cemetery virtually, and if there isn't that kind of information up online, you can always visit an inner space, connecting with your ancestors in that way. I think learning a story of your ancestors, of your beloved dead, is really important, and that can be a powerful way of honoring them at solemn time and at other times of the year. One of the things that I do each Samhain is I pick one, and sometimes it's two or three, of my ancestors, and I do some research, additional research on them. And I find that is a way of honoring them by keeping alive their memory and gathering information that I can pass on to future generations. So although I do not have children in this life, in terms of human form, I have nature preserves and projects and podcasts and all manner of things like that of my offspring. But I have other generations in my family, and so part of what I do at Samhain time is some ancestor research as part of my way of honoring the spirits of the dead. I think divination is a really powerful way of connecting with the dead and inviting them to bring messages. It is a good idea to have a small booklet or some way to note down guidance that might come to you as you do your Samhain observances. Pay special attention to your dreams and to visions, and sometimes the dead will come to you in unusual ways. Some forms of divinity that in contemporary paganism have been linked with the realm of the dead is the crone goddess and the horned god. And just prior to this podcast, as I was out on the land, and I live in hilled forest land, on land that adjoins Circle Sanctuary Nature Reserve, so close to where Circle Sanctuary land is. I was with my husband, and as we moved through the woods, we came upon a huge buck, the biggest buck we've ever seen, and we were actually in a four-wheel drive vehicle. We stopped it, and we communed with it. It just stood there, and we looked at it, and for me, that's an example of connecting with the realm of the dead, but in creature form. So the veil between the world of the living and the dead is said to be thin. Samhain, Samhain, summer's in. The veil is thin. Samhain, Samhain, come spirit friends, new year begins. Samhain, Samhain, Samhain. So take time out at this Samhain time to reflect on those that have been part of your life, that have crossed over into the other world, newly dead, beloved dead, iconic dead, ancestors. Make an altar, do a spirit plate, spirit cup, learn their stories, do offerings, divination, reflection, journaling, chanting, meditating. There's many ways of honoring the spirits of the dead. It's important when you've called the dead and you've worked with the dead that you also give thanks. Spirits of the dead and ancestors, we thank you, we remember you, we honor you at this Samhain time and year round. Samhain blessings. Thanks to everyone who listen live at CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, Circle Sanctuary's Internet Radio. Thanks to all of you who've watched this live stream live. And thanks to all of you who will be watching this when I have it uploaded to my Selena Fox YouTube channel along with some other Samhain material. I give thanks to the beloved dead, and to ancestors, to the divine, as one, as many, as great mother, great father, great spirit. I give thanks to the Samhain time. I give thanks to all of you. May we be safe. May we be well. May we be blessed now and in times to come. So be it.
With me and let me show. there are others just like you, who feel the powers of earth, sea and sky, of dragon and fairy and shades of the night. Hear the call of our ancestors of blood and bone, of womb and tomb and standing stone. Lady, stir your cauldron well, chant your words and sing just like hell. Deep within this dark and cold, hear the goddess Ceridwen call. Hill, his arms raised high to the moonlight, chanting words, a charm, a spell of power, a witch's rune. He calls to the powers of earth, sea and sky, of dragon and fairy and shades of the night. He calls to his ancestors of blood and bones raised high, born of womb and tomb and standing stone. Lady, stir your cauldron well, chant your words and sing your spell. Deep within you will dance in the eye of the storm, your Ceridwen's children, the cauldron born. A charm of silver, the gypsy said when he was just 17. Thread and turn, it's there to be seen. She took his hands, tracing the lines, searching for patterns and looking for signs. Your life a construction, one day you will see. Through the illusion and into the dream. Of the cauldron's brew, your life a constructor will give to you. You will dance in the eye of the storm, your Ceridwen's children, the cauldron born. So we stand on this hill, our shadows are coming. Spell of power, our witch's rune. We call to the powers of earth, sea and sky, of dragon and fairy and shades of the night. We call to our ancestors of blood and bone, of womb and tomb and standing stone. The cauldron's brew and magic she will give to you. You will dance in cauldron born. Oh lady, stir your cauldron well, chant your words and sing your spell. Deep within this darkened hall, hear the goddess Ceridwen call. Come and taste of the cauldron's brew and magic she will give to you. You will dance in the eye of the storm, your Ceridwen's children, the cauldron born. You're the cauldron born.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.